fabulous weekend, getting ready to usher in May. In fact, we're already in May. Time flies, doesn't it? Unfortunately, some bad news right from the get-go, and we're going to dive right into it. Then coming up, we have We Can Count, and we're really going to lighten the load with some interesting conversation about Hollywood, but not the gossipy, crappy TMZ, I dug in someone's trash can and found out they had sex with 25,000 people or whatever. Not that kind of stuff. Just kind of the funny little stories behind the scenes with some big-time actors. We have somebody who has written an interesting book and about Hollywood, Stephen Shohat, and he'll join us to talk about that. And I think you'll find it pretty fascinating, actually, when you think of, like, Jack Nicholson or Johnny Depp. Maybe you're a fan of his. I don't want to give it all away, but that's coming up in a couple here on this version of ATN. But let's dive into the nasty stuff, shall we? A bomb that could have gone off closes Times Square. So if it was chaos that was intended, well, there wasn't really chaos because it was kind of an orderly evacuation, but certainly there was a little bit of panic. And it happened at 6 o'clock in the streets of New York. And like I said, we're talking about Times Square. The New York City Police Commission says there really is no evidence of a Taliban link whatsoever, or Al-Qaeda, or whoever you want to stretch your imagination to include when it comes to a terrorist, to this failed bomb that was found in an SUV that was parked in Times Square. But he's also not ruling them out. See, that's the thing. The Pakistani Taliban has claimed responsibility for the bomb. They released a one-minute video, and they're saying that it's revenge for the death of its leader, Mossad, and the recent killings of some of the top dogs in the Al-Qaeda network in Iraq. So now you've got, you know, images. This is what they had in the video, images of their brothers who were slain, and then English subtitles were at the bottom of the screen. So the idea was this is in revenge for what happened there. I don't know that I'm buying that. The Pakistani Taliban, of course, is one of Pakistan's largest and probably the deadliest in the militant groups there. And there's the links to Al-Qaeda. And, you know, they're based in that hornet's nest in the Afghanistan border. And they've carried out plenty of attacks inside Pakistan, but mostly inside Pakistan. However, they don't make any secret of the hatred they have for Western ways or the United States. The latest is this. There were all kinds of bomb materials, the simplest of bomb materials that you can imagine that were found in Times Square near 7th Avenue in a Nissan Pathfinder. No one was in it. The engine was left running and the hazards were on. Some smoke was coming out of it. A vendor saw, stopped. A mounted police officer told him about it. The bomb squad comes. They find propane tanks and 5-gallon gasoline containers and 2 clocks with batteries and a slew of other things that would indicate that there was certainly foul play here and something disastrous could have happened in Times Square. Now, there was also something that happened, and trust me, this is huge, and there's video now that may be of this guy, a white guy who had 2 shirts on, was taking his shirt off, putting it in a bag, looked suspicious, kept looking back at it, and different angles of video, and there may be a tourist that has some videos. They might be able to go on this, the FBI and whoever else is involved, the NYPD, and track down whoever could have planted the bombs in the Pathfinder. But it could be interesting when we really open the hood back on this. And bottom line is it didn't go off, and that's the key thing. But it's not the only place where there was a problem. In the Pittsburgh Marathon course, there was a bomb scare. So police say that they found an explosive device near the course. So what they had to do, I was reading it on some website today, they had to force people to detour the final part of the race. Can you imagine this? You're running. You're just thinking about the run. That's it. Oh, first-time marathoners, people who do it all the time, whatever. A marathon is 26.2 miles, as you all know. And you're just huffing it. You're running. You're doing all this stuff. And then you get this word that, oh, yeah, there's kind of going to be this a little detour in this because what they found was a small microwave oven, and it was next to a bus station. And they saw this on the sidewalk, and the stuff inside resembled an explosive, so they had to evacuate that area. And here it comes just a day after the crazy car bomb scare, emptying out Times Square, where thousands of tourists were pulled from the streets. And, you know, they were pulled from the streets for 10 hours. So this was a serious threat, or they're taking it seriously, certainly. Hauled the car away. Now it's a question of can they find the links to this car. And at the in the race in Pittsburgh, police, you know, they just, like I said, rerouted, diverted the runners around the one block. Don't have any actual leads as to who it might be, but they have surveillance cameras in the area, and they're trying to find out who put it out there. Now, you see the theme here. The surveillance cameras, if this kind of stuff continues, it's going to become extra big. The push to put more cameras in is already there. In New York City, it's there, and I think it gets just a little bit bigger if we keep having people plant devices like Times Square or like the one that happened in Pittsburgh. By the way, we do have some breaking news. Afghanistan is saying a homicide bomber that's just struck outside a CIA base in eastern Afghanistan, and that's all the information we know because this just happened. I mean, it just happened just a short while ago. As to what, you know, who was around or anything from there, we don't know. At this point, of course, if we get any of that information, we will pass it on. So some rough stuff here at the top. And then the oil spill. Word comes down that this could be 90 days in containing this. Could hit the coast of Florida. So Floridians are bracing for that, seriously. Because if the spill continues the way it is and with the amount it is, there is a very good chance of that happening. What are the chances now that there's going to be more offshore drilling after this BP incident? And still nothing on what happened there. But the focus is on the cleanup. And if it's going to be 90 days, the focus is going to continue to mostly be on the cleanup. They've got to get it, this Gulf of Mexico spill. It's very, very close to slamming into the fishing industry in Louisiana. It's right on the doorstep, knocking to come in, and they have not been able to do what they can to push it offshore at this point with rough waters, for one, is hampering it. And this is pretty scary stuff. Mm. And when it starts to hit parts of the Florida Panhandle, can you imagine? All the way over from the Gulf of Mexico. Stay with us. Meet you on the flip side.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth slide into a recession or at worst depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Warning athletes of all ages, if you're soft, a mental marshmallow, do not, I repeat, do not listen to Championship Thinking in Sports on WebTalkRadio.net. But If you're a commit with grit type person, if you eat courage for breakfast, then Championship Thinking in Sports will punch your good fortune ticket to the Mental Toughness Camp. WebTalkRadio.net, where champions meet.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Are you prepared? Well, you need to be hardcore prepared. There is a difference. To be hardcore prepared, equip yourself with the latest survival gear available at TacTownGear.com. All TacTown gear has been field tested by Canadian and U.S. forces, so you know it's tough. What kind of gear? 72-hour survival kits as low as $55. Holsters for $21. Ankle holsters as low as $40. Flashlights, knives, binoculars, sleeping bags, boots, weapons, accessories, and much more available only at TacTown. TacTownGear.com. Order now and receive free shipping and a free gift on orders over $175. Need more? Receive free shipping, a free gift, and a 10% discount on orders over $250. Visit TacTownGear.com right now for your preparedness needs. That's TACTownGear.com. TacTownGear.com. Or call TacTown Gear at 418-844-9111. Again, that's 418-844-9111.
Yeah, this is an 8. It's more like 38. No, not 38, although it could be 38 billion or a gazillion. As of now, however, the price tag for the oil spill might cost BP 3 billion. I'm thinking it's going to be more than that. They got to pay for everybody that's helping in the cleanup, and if this goes all the way to Florida and it becomes the worst disaster we've ever seen, that 3 billion is going to be a paltry sum. It's just a number that arbitrary. It's like the Congressional Budget Office throwing out their guesstimates. It's just a guesstimate by the company of what it's going to cost them for this oil spill at this point. But we don't know where this is going and how big it's going to get. It's not looking good, my friends. Let's just put it that way. Taking that nasty turn when you say, ooh, this could take 3 months to clean up. Well, where does that oil, where does it arrive after 3 months? We're talking about 6 million a day. 6 million a day. When this first happened, I had no idea it was this bad until I started to talk to a couple of different people who had their ear to the ground and said, oh, yeah, this flow rate is ridiculous. And whatever they're saying now, you can just times it. You can ratchet it up. You won't even be able to compare the Exxon Valdez disaster. You won't be able to compare that. I mean, that what did that spill? 11 million gallons of oil? Yeah, and our pal Jeremy, one of our callers in Alaska, called to say, hey, everything's all good and great with that now. It wasn't great when it happened back in 89, and everybody was so sensitive, of course, about it, seeing those horrific pictures, but this is easily going to cap on that. That's definite. And the Valdez spill back then in 89 cost Exxon $4.3 billion in cleanup and then fines and then lawsuits, because remember the lawsuits are going to be there too. But this is something completely different. It's going to be much more, I think, than even that $3 billion they're throwing out there at this point. How about $146 billion? Greece accepted a bailout to that tune, and boy, it's been disastrous for Greece. Remember, they kind of hooked up with those Goldman Sachs guys who had an answer to their problem. Well, here's the scoop. The finance minister announced on Sunday that they've got this deal going, and they accepted it, and it includes some pretty tough measures for the future. They negotiated with the European Central Bank, the European Commission, and the National Monetary Fund, and they're both kicking in the money. They're kicking in 110 billion euros, which translates in our dollars to 146 billion over 3 years. Of the overall amount, 8 billion will be made available through the euro area members, with up to 30 billion available in the first year. Let's just say it's a crap load of money. It's outrageous what happened there in Greece. And the package includes a promise by that country to cut its budget deficit to 3% of gross domestic product as their rules require by 2014. I mean, really, Greece had no choice. Their hands were completely tied. They had a choice between complete destruction or saving the country. That's it. You either save the country or you sink. So they had to save the country. So these are going to be tough times for the people in Greece. Tough times for sure. And it's definitely not going to be popular with the Greek people. In fact, they've been demonstrating in the streets. But what it means is they're going to have cuts in the salaries for public workers. And that even includes the lawmaker types. You're going to have high taxes, outrageous taxes on cigarettes, fuel, gambling, luxuries. They're going to have an increase in the value-added tax. Ooh, there's that ugly word. We've heard that here in the United States. In the value-added tax consumers pay on whatever it is that they buy, and an increase in the retirement age for women in the public sector. Yes, the people are not happy. The police are wearing helmets and carrying riot shields at all times in case a crowd emerges, an angry mob, because there's a lot of them. Let's jump back to oil for a second here on We Can Count. We see what this oil disaster is now in the Gulf Coast, but here's for people who are betting on oil. We're looking at what a barrel is costing in the 80s right now. $100 a barrel of crude oil, not too far away. A lot of people are starting to talk about that. And sadly, as this commodity climbs back toward the end of the summer, what does it mean for the rest of us? It means when you pull up at the pump, you're going to be paying a lot more for that petro that you got to pump into whatever your ride is if it hits 100. And, you know, how much more depends on the area, depends on a couple of other factors for sure. But you can bet the price of gas is headed much higher. Pretty much the prices have kind of stayed relatively low because of the supply. But now that's also going to be affected by that platform sinking. So just as a warning, not to be the bearer of bad news, but brace yourself, America. Don't buy the garbage if you hear, oh, we're stabilizing the prices of oil or whatever. You want to watch that crude number each day. If you have a long drive, think of alternative ways, I think, to do those errands and stuff seriously, because that number will definitely, definitely shoot up. Man, this would be one of my biggest fears, and I think most of you, well, maybe you can't relate to this, I don't know. Did you ever get on an elevator? Maybe it's because I watched too many freaky movies. Ever get on an elevator and wonder, man, how's this sucker really holding up? Well, lo and behold, there have been a couple of people who have stories about being stuck in an elevator. And there are a couple of people who can actually say they were hurt in an elevator collapse. Sad but true, two people were hurt when an elevator actually did just that. Collapse, went down a couple of floors in Milwaukee in an office building. Oof. Matt, ever get in an elevator and kind of get the heebie-jeebies?
There have been a couple. In an apartment building I used to live in a while back, there was a really shaky elevator where every time you were in it, it was a question of whether or not you were going to fall to your doom and gloom.
Oh, man. That's no good. You got to complain then. If you're paying rent, you got to say, listen, someone's got to do something about this elevator.
Yeah, but the rent was so cheap that, you know, you take the good with the bad.
That's right. So what you should have really done was learn to rappel and just rappelled off the side of the building. It might have been safer.
Yeah, or just take the stairs. and yeah, not be so lazy.
That's right. The stairs is the option. Absolutely. If you're not hauling up a bunch of groceries is the thing, though. I know I've gotten stuck in an elevator before. And it was just a tiny elevator. It's the strangest deal. And it was an apartment, a place that had like 7 floors. And we were stuck for, you know, a good 35 minutes.
I would lose my mind.
Oh, yes.
Oh, it would be so terrible. Because the other thing, too, is normally you don't get cell phone reception in an elevator either. So you're just relying on the little call box that's in there.
Right. And that's exactly what happened. Yeah, so that was kind of freaky. And like I said, I thought maybe some of you could relate to that. I don't know if you saw this or not, but how would it be to be a 20-year-old, set a course record with a 10-under-62 for a 4-shot victory over the guy who just won the Masters just a few weeks ago? That would be Phil Mickelson. Rory McIlroy set that record. And like I said, he is 20 years old. I say bravo. That's like the daily salute. Good for him. And it was exciting to see him because he had that youthful exuberance, let's say. And, I mean, you could tell he was just so pumped up. And he did. He think of it. Tiger Woods doesn't make the cut. And this kid shoots a 62 at Quail Hollow on a Sunday. With a guy like Phil Mickelson in the pack, hanging around and certainly chasing, I'd say that's got to go on the list of the highest of highs. So a young player like this, is this the kind of, is this the kind of fuel that the PGA needs? Some youth injected into a tour that shows that Tiger is yet a bit vulnerable still? Yeah, sure. Why not? It's like any other sport. Anytime you get a good feel-good story, people are going to kind of follow along. And let's see if, he's a young guy. Let's see if he's as fearless when he plays in the upcoming tournaments. I think he will be. Maybe he wins a few more or is in contention. That would only be a good thing for golf because more people might pay attention to it. Coming up next, we're going to have some fun talking the Hollywood stories here on America Tonight.
Get incredible grip, no matter what the conditions, when you wear MaxFit gloves. Everyone from boaters, fishermen, mechanics, plumbers, farmers, senior citizens, and gardeners are all wearing MaxFit gloves for better grip. MaxFit gloves are made with thin glove technology that is ultra-thin, breathable, will reduce muscle fatigue when planting gardens, pulling weeds, or anywhere you need a more youthful grip. Watch incredible MaxFit gloves videos online at MaxFitGloves.com. MaxFit gloves improve dry grip strength by up to 37% and improve your grip up to 400%. Better than bare hands in wet or oily conditions. If arthritis has crippled your grip, or if you work with your hands and depend on a good grip, then MaxFit gloves are for you. Right now, get 2 free pair of MaxFit gloves when you go to maxfitgloves.com, maxfitgloves.com, and use promo code radio, or call 1-877-552-5206. That's 1-877-552-5206. MaxFit gloves, incredible grip in any conditions.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Did you know there is a growing number of researchers who agree that 90% of all disease begins in the colon? Did you know that 80% of all Americans suffer from internal parasites and parasitic infection? If allowed, our bodies are capable of healing themselves. The key to optimal health is not only what we eat, but also a healthy digestive system and a strong immune system. At Freshwater Organics, we offer FPP, a daily organic supplement that helps eliminate parasites, heavy metals, and high cholesterol naturally and safely. FPP, or fossilized phytoplankton powder, has been used worldwide for thousands of uses and is now available from Freshwater Organics. In addition, we offer an entire line of products to help cleanse waste and toxins, strengthen your immune system, and improve your overall well-being. Make FreshwaterOrganics.com your first stop for organic and natural supplements at the best prices. Visit FreshwaterOrganics.com. Again, that's FreshwaterOrganics.com, or request your free catalog by mail by calling 888-949-3570.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Times are tough, and you gotta stretch that dollar. A special invitation for listeners to save. Sign up at DoobleyShoppers.com today and start paying the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices for the coolest stuff. New premium brand name TVs, laptops, watches, camcorders, Blu-ray players, and more. All with factory warranties, just like you get from a retail chain. Except for the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices. They start low and go lower with our reverse auctions.
You save even more with your first $8 auction purchase.
Doobly will give you an instant $25 dining certificate good at thousands of nationwide restaurants, plus a $500 vacation discount voucher, usable at hundreds of resorts around the U.S. and world.
Sign up today at DoobleyShoppers.com.
Pay the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices, and listeners receive special rewards. It's worth a peek to keep money in your pocket and the coolest stuff in your home and garage. Sign up today at DoobleyShoppers.com. That's D-U-B-L-I Shoppers.com. You'll be glad you did.
Favorites, David Duchovny, speaking of Hollywood, and Californication, a show that I'm a big, big fan of. When is that coming back? Anyway, that was the theme song from it. How cool is that? Coming up on our show in a later hour, Obama versus Leno. Yeah, the correspondence dinner. We're going to let you hear little snippets and you decide who was funnier. Joining us now, Stephen Shohat, and he has written a book that a lot of you would love to read because you like the stories behind the stories. That's the fun stuff when it comes to Hollywood, right? And the book is called Hollywood Stories, Short Entertaining Anecdotes About the Stars and Legends. Legends of the Movies. Raise your hand, because I'm looking in my infrared glasses right now and I can see the hands across America. If you are a fan of John Wayne movies, if you've gone back, I know some of us are too young to actually have seen them when they unfolded, but if you've gone back into the vault and watched some of the old Duke movies, there's some brilliant cinema there. And Steven's got a great story about John Wayne and the staff of the Harvard Lampoon on the campus in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Joining us from our virtual green room, Stephen. Stephen, hello, how are you?
Hey, how are you, Kate? Thanks for having me on again.
Thanks so much for coming back on. It's been way too long. So I'm excited that you have this book out because I think it's the stories, and obviously you know this, having written forever and ever about Hollywood things, people like the stories. They want to hear the stories behind the stars, don't they?
Yeah, I think so. And what I tried to do, was not do anything too lurid, try and find really fun stuff. Like the story you're referring to, for example, is when 1974, John Wayne was promoting the movie McHugh, and the Harvard Lampoon, they sent him an invitation saying that they'd like to meet him face-to-face in Harvard Square at high noon and engage in an intellectual debate. And they said that John Wayne was a complete fraud. And John Wayne said, well, I'd be happy to go to the pseudo-intellectual swamps of Harvard Square. And he showed the movie, and then he engaged in a question-and-answer session, and he didn't have any script writers, so it was all off the cuff, and they just loved him. And at one point, one of the students raised his hand and said, don't tell me that phony toupee, or where'd you get that phony toupee? And John Wayne said, son, this hair is real. It's not mine, but it's real. And then afterwards, they all sat down for dinner and they had a great time. And John Wayne was very ill, gout, lung cancer, host of problems. But he later said that day was, he only had 5 years to live, but he later said that day in Harvard was the greatest day of his life.
Yeah, that's a great story. I love that. And, like I said, you know Hollywood. You used to be a professional tour guide. Is this, and you've done other books. We've talked to you before. Did you have your own little fascination about movie stars, or what led you down that path?
I am a tour guide. I'm still giving the tours, and the thing was, when I started being a tour guide, it was really, well, what do you do? I didn't have a script like the Universal Studios people do. So being a tour guide, it's an individual thing, and I decided early on I wanted to make the tours as anecdotal as possible. So I just collected this huge catalog of anecdotes, and the idea behind the book and my other two previous projects, which were actually audiobooks, was that the stories could be told anywhere, that they could go beyond the tour bus, and so that's what led me to a bunch of different projects, but this is the biggest thing I've ever done. This book, Hollywood Stories, it has a huge all-star cast of characters, but it's looking for fun or wild things that happen. For example, one of the stories was 1917, a young soldier, he goes to see a Charlie Chaplin movie, and he's really impressed. He says, this little man is a subversive. He kicks authority figures in the rear, and yet the audience isn't threatened by him. Why is that? It's the mustache. The mustache makes him seem like a harmless clown. This soldier was a bit of a thinker, and he had recently gotten an edict from his superior officer saying that he had to shave his mustache because it was too long. There might be a chemical attack. He might have to fit into a gas mask. So he thought, I'll kill two birds with one stone. I'll shave my mustache and grow a mustache like Charlie Chaplin. And that way people will trust me. And the name of the soldier, Adolf Hitler.
Wow. That's a loaded story to be sure. Wow. How about that? You go from that one to take it to from 1917 all the way up to Johnny Depp, and I love his movies, and people want to know more about Johnny Depp, but he's kind of elusive. I think I've heard he's very friendly when he does talk shows or he is promoting a movie, but people don't necessarily know a lot about Johnny Depp. What do you have on Depp?
Well, first of all, let me say that I saw him in person interact with the fans. I was there actually giving a tour the day he got his handprints and footprints at the Chinese Theater to promote the movie Corpse Bride, the animated feature he did a couple years back with Tim Burton. And I saw him interact with the fans, and he was just as friendly as could be. So all that stuff you read, at least on that particular day, it all seems to be true. I also know people have worked with him and just say the nicest things about him. Now, one of the stories I talk about was how miserable he was on 21 Jump Street. And by the way, Kate, I got to tell you, when he was getting his handprints and footprints at the Chinese Theater, I mean, there were these young girls, like 17, 18, 19, and I was thinking, oh my God, when he was on 21 Jump Street, a lot of them weren't even born yet, probably.
Yeah, no kidding.
Like a lot of actors, he just took that role to get paid one time. The pilot, he was hoping that the pilot wouldn't get picked up. And then, of course, it was. And he was miserable on the show. And he felt that his character, a policeman who poses as a teenager to get information on other kids, was immoral. He started getting letters, fan mail. He was on the cover of Teen Beat or Tiger Beat and all these magazines. And he would write letters to kids saying, oh, don't ask me any advice. I'm more messed up than you are. And even though he was always friendly to the cast and crew and professional, he actually tried to get fired from the show a couple times by suggesting outrageous plot lines lines, like his character Hansen should have, for example, a peanut butter fetish and you know, roll around without any clothes in the peanut butter. And also he would do things like show up to the set with Elton John glasses and he would complain that his trailer wasn't clean. And, you know, one time he set his underwear on fire in protest. But there was no way the producers were going to let him go. Because he was definitely the star of the show. And when he finally finished his contract, he compared himself to Nelson Mandela.
Because he wanted out, yeah.
Yeah, he definitely wanted out. And I'll tell you, one of the stories I have in there is, the night he was arrested in New York at the Mark Hotel, and he got into a fight with Tate Moss, a verbal fight. And the police were called, and he was moved to three different precincts because he kept getting mobbed by different police, female police officers at the precinct. So they had to keep moving him around. And then he made light of the whole incident. He said, no, we didn't have a fight. There was a rat in my room, and I chased it around with a baseball bat and jumped out the window, and later said it was an armadillo. He kept changing the story. But the funniest thing about it was the person who called the police on him that night was Roger Daltrey of The Who. And The Who, I mean, they used to go on world tours, and they destroy so much hotel property that they come home with like $20 in profits to divvy up. And Roger Daltrey said he had no problem with Johnny Depp breaking up the hotel room, but his problem was that it took him too bloody long. The Who would have done the job in less than a minute.
Oh, there's a rim shot in there. I like that story. That's a good ending to that one. Hey, we only have a couple minutes left, and you have so many vignettes that are fabulous, so I think people would be fascinated by this book. But Jack Nicholson is always one of my favorites back in the day. Give us a Jack story.
Well, I had a couple of the Jack stories in there. The one I really like, you know, being a Laker fan is, you know, he started being a Laker fan in 1969 after Easy Rider came out. And at first, he actually cheered against them because he was from New Jersey, but then he found that he couldn't cheer against the home team. And so there were, you know, he obviously became the Lakers' most prominent fan. And, of course, a lot of celebrity Laker fans, they go to the game because they get tickets from their agents and are there to promote something at halftime, get interviewed by reporters. But Jack's there totally for the love of the game, even in losing seasons, which luckily the Lakers haven't had too many of. And there was one time he ran on the court and argued with the referee, and he was thrown out of the arena. There was one time he was in Boston, and the fans started jeering him, so he actually mooned them. But most of the time, he's gotten along great with people, and he sits near the enemy bench. And the only thing is that the other team, they have to be very careful about talking with him because he's a great mimic. And he claims that twice a year, he can make the referees think that the other team is yelling obscenities at them and get technical fouls called on them.
The Jack factor. I love it. Stephen Shohat, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight. You're always entertaining. You're a great storyteller. You know that, buddy. Hollywood Story Short, entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. You can go on Amazon, get it in your bookstores. Terrific stuff. Stephen, join us again sometime. We appreciate it.
You got it, Kate.
All right, and he just scratched the surface there. He's got so much more that we could have talked about with some of these celebrities. Coming up on the flip side, there's a new horse that's a celebrity thanks to the Kentucky Derby. We're going to talk about that.
Oh, my sinuses! They feel like they'll explode!
Sinus pressure, sinus headaches that keep you up at night. You've struggled for years. You've tried everything to get relief, but your sinus distress just keeps coming back and robbing you of the healthy life you deserve. Sound familiar? Well, you're not alone. Statistics show that 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress. Fact is, 67 products merely treat the symptoms and don't get to the cause of your sinus problem. Now there's a solution that's safe and doctor-recommended. SinoFresh Homeopathic Antiseptic Nasal Spray. It's the only patent-protected nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of your sinusitis. No alcohol, no rebound congestion, no drug interactions, and easy to use. Don't go another day just treating symptoms. Take control of your sinus health now and get SinoFresh homeopathic antiseptic nasal spray and get the relief you deserve. Go to buysinofresh.com. That's B-U-Y, sinofresh.com. Or call 888-906-3636. Breathe easy. Breathe free. Get SinoFresh today. It works.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you've got to try My Pillow. Introducing the most revolutionary, most comfortable, and coolest pillow ever, My Pillow. Imagine your very own custom fit pillow. My Pillow is the only pillow of its kind on the market that uses a patented fill, custom made to your exact individual needs. My Pillow is 100% made in the USA and has a natural built-in cooling effect that keeps your cervical nerves cool, and that helps you get the best REM sleep possible. My Pillow helps alleviate snoring, migraine, sleep apnea, and other sleeping disorders. My Pillow is antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, machine washable and dryable, comes in many sizes and will not go flat. And best of all, My Pillow comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose? Except poor sleep. Go to MyPillowShop.com. Mention coupon code GCN and receive up to $40 off. That's MyPillowShop.com. Or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. My Pillow for the rest of your life.
Well, the Lakers didn't need a little Jack, and we were just talking about Jack Nicholson. They didn't need his secret magic because they beat Utah 104-99. If you can watch any of this playoff stuff. And it was pretty much Lakers all the way in the second half of that one. But the sport that really caught my eye over the weekend was the Derby, as it always does. They got their highest, NBC did, TV ratings in 18 years. So what's up with that? People just decided they were going to watch. You think of last year, 50-1 odds on Mind That Bird. You know, that was the most watched Derby in 20 years. How about that? So anyway, this time around, Todd Pletcher was the trainer for a horse that finally got it done for him. He was 0-24 heading in to the Derby. Who was that horse? Take a listen to the call.
And they're off in the Kentucky Derby. American Line SP, there goes Conveyance. He's looking for speed on the outside. Looking at that lucky head, step on the brakes in the early going. So it's Conveyance. Super Saver Tiz inside. Here comes a pumped up Tony's Candy on the outside as they make their move. Headlong for that critical first turn. Conveyance leads. On the outside, Sydney's Candy is second. Line of David is third. Mission Impossible fourth. The Sprinkly Mine up there close. Fifth on the outside. Super Saver, Calvin Burrell, and they are close to the rail. Moving into the turn, they're running in six. Noble's Promise is now seventh and moving through between horses. American Line is eight on the far outside into the clubhouse turn. And that's Jackson Ben now running in ninth. The Philly, Devil May Care is tenth and in between horses. Patio Prado is now 11th toward the rail. Back Talk is now running in 12th position. Dean's Kitten is now 13th down toward the inside. On the far outside, Homeboy Chris is 14th. Dublin runs in 15th position. Ozomax still well held from that pace up front. He's now running 17th on the outside. And down toward the rail, it's Stately Victor, a break of three. Back to looking at Lucky. He's about 20 lengths from the lead now with five furlongs to go. Then Icebox and Longshot make music for me. The field down the second, Noble's Thomas. Noble's Thomas rallies now through toward the inside third. Super Sabres fourth. He's still down inside, but Super Sabres now stuck in both. There's the Philly Devil McHare, and she's making a bold run on the far outside, moving toward the leaders. Patty O'Connor is trying to thread his way through now. And double there on the far outside as the field turns for home. Noble's Thomas has the lead. Super Sabres down in the defense. That was a strike. Super Sabres, Calvin Burrell, one for one from the Derby here. Noble's Thomas runs in second. Patty O'Connor is now third. McNeely from the big long shot. Now fourth on the outside. And they're coming down to the finish. And it is Super Saber. A late run from Honeybox. But it's Super Saber and Calvin Burrell. The unflappable Calvin Burrell.
You got to love that. What a call. For me, it makes the hair on my arm stand up. I'm telling you, I love it. And you heard that the winner was Super Saver and Calvin Burrell because he was the jockey who had the mount on Mind That Bird with the 50-1 odds. So now he's claiming that Super Saver, his horse, is going to win the Triple Crown, rather. And what a, you heard that wet track. It was terrible, muddy. 2.5 lengths, that was the win in the Derby. Todd Pletcher, like I said, broke the string of bad luck when it came to the Derby, so now he finally has one, so he's 1 for 25. How about that? Super Saver, Icebox, and Patio Prada. Nobody hit our trifecta challenge. Nobody hit it. This was a tough one because of the conditions at Churchill Downs. It changed the game when the rain hit, and then we're talking about rain and mud. It was bad, windy, almost up until the race. So it was hard to predict, I think, what's going to happen there. If you watch any of this leading up to the Derby, even the so-called experts kind of hedged on where they were going. Although a lot of people liked Super Saber. I was out at the track Lone Star in Texas the day before and talked to somebody who every day was out in the back stretch and, you know, somebody who had been around to see a lot of the thoroughbreds come and go in all kinds of different places. And immediately he told me if it was going to be a muddy track, no doubt Super Saver was the horse. And even if it wasn't going to be muddy, this horse had a heck of a great chance to have a good run. And a good run it did. We'll see if there's going to be a Triple Crown winner. The next race is the Preakness. And the Preakness is May 15th, so you're talking about just a couple of weeks. Matt, I know you were at a Derby party because we were talking about what food you were going to take, and how'd that all work out for you? Did you end up winning any of the fun prizes that they had at this party, like the cash?
I did take home some cash with Super Saver because we do a random betting board where you just fill your name into a spot, and then it gets revealed later what slot you had, and I got the four horse, which was Super Saver.
Good for you. So I had the Super Saver too as well on a ticket, so that was nice. But boy, I'll tell you, when you start to look ahead to the Preakness, it's tough to make predictions. As when you start mentioning Triple Crown, everybody gets excited, and then the hopes get dashed. Sometimes you get the two legs, and then you go into the Belmont, and it doesn't happen. But this is a fun time of year for horse racing. A lot of people that would normally pay attention.
I don't think there's much other time when people pay attention to horse racing.
Oh, no. Horse racing is the champ. Oh, the sport of kings. Some of you listening can dispute Mr. Matt on that.
I understand that, but I'm just saying, for the majority of the people, as soon as the Triple Crown's done, they're done with horse racing.
America, would you like to respond? 800. Thanks, Matt. He's right. And if you're the big four sports, it's not horse racing. It's football and baseball and hoop, certainly, and hockey. And hockey is like the wicked stepchild to many, and depending on where you are in America. But horse racing is huge. Horse racing is huge, and whether it's the gambling aspect or just people that were involved in horse racing, particularly in areas in the Northeast, some of the big tracks back there. But even in California, there are some huge tracks that people just can't get enough of, like Del Mar, for example, which we had that conversation with Izzy in Missouri, who had loved going to Del Mar, and she was one of the people who took our trifecta challenge. So like I said, we do have hockey, and We've got a lot of exciting action on the ice and on the hardwoods, too, if you're not a fan of what's happening in the NHL. Let's go to Sam, who's listening to us in Montreal. Hello, Sam.
Hello, you.
Well, you probably weren't watching. Were you watching the Kentucky Derby?
Yes, we were. We went to Plattsburgh yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Okay, we went up. Okay, we showed our passports. And the guy punches in our names. He says, go, go. I guess someone put a little something beside our names and said, don't you dare think about it. You know, because you know what happened.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we're driving by, and she stops the car. I go, what are you doing? She says, look who's sitting at a desk. It was the guy.
Wow. And you guys did? How about that?
Yeah, so we look at it. We were tempted to go, nah, 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 nah. But then we figured, nah, you know, discretion is the better part of valor. We just looked at him like, you stupid SOB. How could you? Anyway, so we did watch the race in Plattsburgh. Mm. And
terrible track, muddy, blah.
Yeah, blah. Yeah. Yeah, you just described my cooking. But that's another show. But I found it to be a relatively exciting race, and from what I'm seeing, the way that people are dressed in that part of Kentucky, that seems to be the social event of the year.
Oh, well, the Derby is such a huge event. The hats with the women, and absolutely. But also, too, yeah, if you're on the infield, people just camp out there, try to get on the infield, go
right,
crazy. It's an amazing thing to see in person. It is.
And it is
one of the biggest.
And even if this horse doesn't win the Triple Crown, still the stud fees, because he's a Kentucky Derby winner, stud fees for the horse, whoever he's made it,
are huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if by some fluke he wins the Triple Crown.
No, then it's even bigger, because they haven't had a Triple Crown winner since 78.
Yeah, I remember that. And I know, like, my late father and I, we would watch, like, the Triple Crown. And then every so often they'd mention there was one Canadian horse, or actually two Canadian horses, and one of them won the Derby in 64, a horse named Northern Dancer.
I remember Northern Dancer, yes.
Yeah, oh, by the way, I'm predicting, and your technician is listening to this, I'm predicting, and I'm crossing my fingers when I'm saying this, a Montreal Philadelphia Eastern Final.
Woo! Then we're gonna have to exchange those T-shirts. We'll see who wins on that one, because I got my fingers crossed for my Flyers. Habs picked up that win against the Penguins. Woo! How about that second game? All right, you can send me your thoughts on anything that we've talked about right now or whenever, day or night, at americatonight.net.